Just one ha'ara from last night's shir that I was telling Kivi before that I thought was a very good ha'ara. I gave a shir in my shul on Tuesday nights. That's why we had shir early. So I didn't really have a topic to give shir on in shul. So I just did the same topic we did last night. I gave the shir two times in a row. So there's a guy in the shul. His name is Avi Langer, who had a very interesting chap on something we said last night. I just want to mention it. We discussed yesterday the machlokas between the Prichadosh and the Shagazaryeh, where the Prichadosh holds that if you have a mitzvah d'oraisa and a mitzvah d'rabanan, the d'oraisa must come first. And he said that's his, therefore, working with that premise, he said the first two parshios of Kriya Shema are both d'oraisa, because the Gemara says, how do I know to read the parsha of Shema before the parsha of Vahaya im Shemoa? And the Gemara didn't answer, because Shema is d'oraisa, Vahaya im Shemoa is d'rabanan. So it must be that they're both d'oraisa, because the Prichadosh works with the premise that a d'oraisa has to come before, it takes precedence over a d'rabanan. The Shagazari said no such thing. With Tadir v'sheinu Tadir, Tadir kodem, Mekudosh v'sheinu Mekudosh, Mekudosh kodem, that a d'oraisa v'sheinu d'oraisa, d'oraisa kodem. There's no such rule in all of Shas. He completely rejects it. And the Shagasari's raya, if you recall, was the Gemara that discusses the Dvarim Shabein Beishame Beisil B'Su'uda, where Beisil holds that when you make Kiddush, you should first say the Brach of Bar Pri Agafen, and then say the Kiddush Hayom. Why? One of the reasons is because Bar Pri Agafen is Tadir, Kiddush Hayom is Eino Tadir. So the Shagasari says, if there's a din that the Doraisa has to come first, then Kiddush Hayom should come first, because that's Doraisa. Bar Pri Agafen is only Midrabanan. So we mentioned last night that the Nodav Yehuda is safer on Shas, and the Tzlach defends the Prichadosh from this attack of the Shagasariyeh, and the Yehuda says that no, we must be talking about it, the Gemara must be talking about a case where you already davened, or you already said Shabbat Tava, or you already did something to be Yotzei Kiddush Midaraisa, so all you're left with is Kiddush Midarabanan, and therefore Tadir V'Sheinu Tadir Kodem. But really, if you weren't yet Yotzei Kiddush Daraisa, and what you had to do right now was Kiddush Daraisa and Bar Pri Agafen Rabbanan, then of course you would do Kiddush D'oraisa first, says Nodav Yehuda, like the Prichadosh. The D'oraisa should come first. It's just the Gemara must be talking about a case where the Kiddush that we're dealing with is only Kiddush D'rabbanan. Good, that was how the... And so says Nodav Yehuda, based on that, I have a very great Kiddush, Nodav Yehuda said. What if you have a woman who didn't daven? Most women don't daven Marev on Friday night. So they never did Kiddush D'oraisa until they get to the meal. So now what? Which bracha should they say first? If the whole reason we say Birchas Hayayin first before the Kiddush Hayom is because by the time we get to Kiddush Hayom, the Kiddush Hayom is only a Drabbanan. What about the woman who hasn't been Yotzei Kiddush Hayom D'oraisa? Her Kiddush Hayom is going to be D'oraisa. So she should have to say Kiddush Hayom first, and then Bar Pri Agafen. That was the Nodav Yehuda. So this fellow said to me, Avi Langer, he said, no, the Gemara in Zvachim Daf Pei Tes, that I mentioned last night, that discusses Tadir V'Sheinu Tadir Tadir Kodem, Mekudosh V'Sheinu Mekudosh Mekudosh Kodem. So the Gemara asks, what if you have a Tadir versus a Mekudosh? And the Gemara doesn't answer. The Gemara says, we don't have a clear answer to that. Why does the Prichadosh hold that a D'oraisa comes before a D'rabanan? He doesn't make up rules that don't appear in Shas. Why does he hold D'oraisa comes before a D'rabanan? Because he defines a D'oraisa as more Mekudosh than a D'rabanan. Right? So let's take this case of the woman. The woman was not yet Yotzei Kiddush Midaraisa. She now has to make Kiddush, and she has Bar Pri Agafen and Kiddush Hayom. Which bracha should she say first? So Nodav Yehuda says, well, the Daraisa should come first. Mekudosh V'Sheinu Mekudosh, Mekudosh Kodem. But why is it that we say Kiddush, that we say Birch Sayayin first? Because Tadir V'Sheinu Tadir Tadir Kodem. Birch Sayayin is more Tadir than Birch Sayom, than Kiddush Hayom. So isn't the case of a woman really not such a slam dunk? It's not just that, oh, okay, let us say the D'oraisa first because it's Mekudosh. No, but the Bar Pri Agafen may not be Mekudosh, but it is Tadir. So she has a Mekudosh against the Tadir. And what do you do with the Mekudosh against the Tadir? Well, we don't know. The Gemara doesn't answer that question. So why should we rock the boat, change the whole order of Kiddush for a woman who's making Kiddush? We don't even know if it's going to be right if we change the order. It may be right in the order that we have it at. I thought that was a very sharp idea. That the whole svarit to say that a daraisa comes first is that it's mekudash. But the whole svarit to say yayin comes first is that it's tadir. So for the woman, it's going to be who is not yet yotzei Kiddush daraisa, it's going to be mekudash versus tadir. Okay, that's just to close up from last night. Today I wanted to start a new sugya, which is a much lighter sugya, in terms of not as much lumdus here, but I thought there were some interesting inyanim that come up. It's really an agada to Gemara. There's no hiding the fact that this Gemara is an agada to Gemara. Gemara tells us a story. It's a brisa, but it tells us a story. Amar Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi tells a story. Pa'amachas hisi mahalich b'derech. This gimel amir alef toward the bottom. He said, I was once traveling. V'nechnasti l'chur v'achas mi'chorvis Yerushalayim l'spalo. And I went into this ruin, this churva to daven. But Eliyahu zachar l'tova shomer li ala pesach. And Eliyahu sat and guarded me by the doorway because it was a dangerous place. Atcha siyamti tefilasi, until I finished my tefila. La'acha shasiyamti tefilasi. Amar li shalom alecha Rebbe. Pretty nice. So Eliyahu Navi calls you Rebbe. You know you're doing okay in life, right? So Eliyahu Navi says, Shalom Alecha Rebbe. V'amarti lo, Shalom Alecha Rebbe Umori. Not to be outdone, he wanted to play a bigger compliment, so he said, Rebbe Umori, tell Eliyahu Navi. So he says, V'amarli b'ni, m'pnei ma nechnas l'chur b'zu. Why did you come into this place? So he said, L'ispala, I came here to daven. Why didn't you daven on the road? I thought I wouldn't be able to concentrate over a drachim, people are going to be passing by all the time, not so geschmack to daven on the road. So he says, okay, so then you should have davened the tefillah katzara and you wouldn't have been disrupted. So Rabbi Yossi says, I learned from Eliyahu HaNavi, from that conversation, I learned three things. That itself is a limud, by the way. The fact that literally a 30-second conversation with Eliyahu HaNavi and every word out of Eliyahu's mouth was a new halacha, was something else to be dorish. I remember when I was in 10th grade, my Rebbe was Rabbi Yisrael Kamenetsky, who's now my boss, and for 3 weeks straight in Shir, he was quoting Rav Schechter about something or other. He was just saying, I don't know, Rav Schechter said this when I drove him in the car, Rav Schechter said this when I drove him in the car. And we asked him, like, how often do you drive him in the car that, you know, you have all these... He said, no, I just drove him once, 3 weeks ago, you know, for a half hour. But, like, every bit of conversation was something repeatable and something that had a take home with it. So so that's what Rabbi Yossi had with Eliyahu HaNavi. So he said, I learned three things. Number one, lamadti shei nechnasin l'churva. I learned that it's not a good idea to go into dangerous places. Lamadti shei mespalim b'derech. I also learned that you're allowed to daven on the road. Maybe we could discuss that some other time. V'lamadati shemespal b'derech mespal tefilah k'tzara. I also learned that you shouldn't daven, the longest Shemoneh Esrei of your life when 80 million people are waiting for the bathroom in the back of the El Al plane and you're standing in the way. That's not the time to daven the longest tefilah. It really means something else. Tefilah k'tzara is an abridged version of the tefilah, or whatever it is. So Eliyahu HaNavi then said, "Bni, ma kol shemata b'chor v'zu? What did you hear?" So he says, "Shemati bas kol shemina mahenes kiyona." I heard a bas call that was groaning like a dove. Every example in Agadata means something. Yonah, I think the Gemara in Beitza tells us that Klal Yisrael is Nimshal Yonah. That Klal Yisrael is like a dove. So it was groaning like a dove. The groans of a suffering Klal Yisrael. But this was a bas call, Kaviyachol HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking from his perspective. Omeris, and the bas call is saying, woe unto my children that because of their sins I had to destroy my house. And I burnt my heichal and I sent them into galus amongst the nations. Scary stuff. Eliyahu HaNavi lets him in on the secret that it's not only this one time that the Baskel said this, it happens three times a day where it says, and not only this, HaKadosh Baruch Hu menanei Rosho va'omer Ashrei HaMelech shemekal tzinoso bebeis hakach malo la'av shehigla es banav va'oila lebanim shagolo me'al shulchan aviyam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we say Yehei Shmei HaGadol Mevarach, or probably what it means. Yeshmei Rabbim Varach. When we say that, that's such a powerful line of tefillah that it causes HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, to regret having destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, because now he lost out on receiving that Shevach in his bayis. That fortunate is a melech who would have that in his bayis, who would get that kind of praise in his bayis. So there are a couple of issues over here. There are lots of things we could talk about over here, but let's try to narrow our focus a little bit. So first off, a simple ha'ara. Rashi writes, Ashrei melech shemekalsin oso bebeis okach, Ashrei kol zman shayakilu ze betoch beis hamikdash. Fortunate was HaKadosh Baruch Hu while this was happening in the Beis HaMikdash, but it's not. It's no longer happening in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, do you have to read the Gemara that's talking about the Beis HaMikdash? When I first read that Gemara without Rashi, not the way I read it to you before, but when I first read this Gemara, before I ever saw that Rashi, the way I read the Gemara was, the people were in the Bate Knesios, Bate Midrashos, they were saying, Yeshmer Rabbim Varach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's response is, wow, how fortunate I am to have such wonderful children who praise me in, not the Beis HaMikdash, in the Bate Knesios, Bate Midrashos, where they're actually praising me, where they're actually saying, Yeshmer Rabbim Varach. Now I see that they're doing such mitzvahs and they're saying such nice things. I feel bad for sending them into galus. And woe unto the banim that they were nigla from shulchan aviyam. Is there a hechrech to say that this is dafka the Beis HaMikdash? Yeah. Right, but all it's meaning the bas kol that we had previously said bavonosei mechrafti as basi. So why right that because they did averos, I sent them to galus, I destroyed them Beis HaMikdash. So now what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying is, one could have read the Gemara the way I read the Gemara originally, is that now that I see they're doing mitzvos, where are they doing mitzvos? In the Bate Knesios, the Bate Midrashos. Such a great thing. That's very fortunate, because now I'm going to start regretting having sent them into galus, and I'm wanting to bring them back. It's the averos that got them into galus. Now I see they're doing this great mitzvah of Shevach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so I'm going to want to bring them back into the Beis HaMikdash. Meaning, I don't see in the Gemara so much a hechrich that it necessarily refers to the Beis HaMikdash. It happens to be once Rashi says it fits very nicely, because, meaning, the ashrei is not on what they were doing, but on how much more they could do if they had more opportunity. Meaning, the ashrei amel shemekal sosa besokach. But the truth is, the reason I read it otherwise is ashrei seems like the wrong phrase to use. When you're lamenting the fact that they're not in the Beis HaMikdash doing this, and that really what they're doing now is just a shell of the former mitzvah, of what it could have been when you had the Beis HaMikdash, so if that's the case, is ashrei really the best word to use? It should have been oila lebanim, that they could have done so much better if only I would have given them the opportunity to be in the Beis HaMikdash. So this reminded me of, and this is not a raya one way or the other, it just reminded me of something I heard from Rosh Hashanah many, many times, and it's printed in Eretz HaTzvi, Simin Yud Bezos Beis, that, again, it's not a hechruch at all, it's just the way my brain works sometimes. I saw bebeso. Bebeso means his house, the Ribbono Shel Olam's house. So Rav Shechter has an idea that he quotes from a Soloveitchik, that he quotes from the Rav, that we know there's a concept, the Gemara Megillah talks about, of mikdash ma'at. That we have a real Beis HaMikdash, and then we have our Mikdash Ma'at, our Bate Knesset, Elu Bate Knessios, Bate Midrashos, Shebavel is called the Mikdash Ma'at. That our shuls are called the Mikdash Ma'at. What does that terminology mean, Mikdash Ma'at? A miniature Beis HaMikdash. Is that what it means, miniature? It's just smaller? I mean, the Great Synagogue, or the Belzer, right? It's Belzer, right? So that would be the Mikdash HaGadol? I mean, like, it's bigger than Beis HaMikdash, right? Or it's close. It's there are magnificent shuls. So the Mikdash Ma'at probably doesn't mean physical size. What is there a halachic concept of Mikdash Ma'at? So Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, and the truth is, Rav Asher Weiss has a beautiful piece in Minchas Asher on this, where he goes through all of the parallels between Beis HaKnesses and Beis HaMikdash, and how structurally the Beis HaKnesses is set up to be like the Beis HaMikdash in many, many ways. The different sections of the Beis HaKnesses are supposed to mimic the different sections of the Beis HaMikdash in a number of ways. The Bima Be'emtza is connected to the Mizbeach. There are a whole bunch of structural issues that we dafka have, and also behavior-wise. There are certain behaviors that we have in the Beis HaMikdash that we have to do in the Beis HaKnesses. So the concept of Mikdash Ma'at, says Rav Shechter B'Shem Rav Salvechik, is that both the Beis HaMikdash and the Beis HaKnesses are meeting places with the Ribono Shel Olam. They're places where we go and meet HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The only difference is that a Beis HaMikdash is us meeting HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his house, and a Beis HaKnesses is HaKadosh Baruch Hu coming to visit us in our house. That's the difference between a Beis HaKnesses and a Beis HaMikdash. And therefore, he says, when it comes to the Beis HaMikdash, there are going to be many, many more restrictions because you're dealing with the home of the Ribono Shel Olam. When you're dealing with the Beis HaKnesses, you'll notice a lot of the halachos of kavod that you have to have in the Beis HaKnesses are based on simple respect that you would pay to somebody else's house. How you behave when you're in somebody's house. So since the Beis HaKnesses is considered the Tzibur's house, so we're in a house. We're not in the Beis HaMikdash. We're not in God's place. We're in a house. We're in a house where God's going to come for a visit. So if you could imagine someone hosting a parlor meeting where an important politician, Mahavdil, is coming, so there are certain ways you have to behave. But it's not necessarily the same as you would behave in the White House. That would be a different standard that would be expected. I guess you would know better, but that would be a different standard. It would be a different standard than you would have in a person's house. So says Rav Shechter as follows. He says, "Ulazeh hachiluk hiskavin rava bebrachas samach gimel m'alef ki beso ma beso akapandaria kapadinish arikiko mina lo kapadinish." So what are the halachos of kavod Beis HaKnesses? The same thing, the same halachos of kavod that you would have for a person's house. People generally are makbid if you use their house as a shortcut. Right? If you're sitting at home in your living room and someone runs right through your living room because they were it's the easier way to get around the block, you might be like, what's going on over here? You're not supposed to use the house as a shortcut. But rikika, mina lo kapadinish. But to spit on the ground when they had dirt floors. Nowadays, probably you are a little makbid about spitting on the ground. But spitting on the ground when they had dirt floors or wearing shoes, lo kapadinish. So af beis haknesses kapandari yudas rikiko min al shari. So why is the limud beso? Why does the limud have to be beso? Shouldn't it be something about beis hamigdash? Why is the limud from beso? So he says, kolomar v'ilu b'beis hamigdash af rikiko min al asiri. No, in the Beis HaMikdash we have a higher standard. You're not allowed to spit. You're not allowed to wear shoes in the Beis HaMikdash, right? The Beis HaMikdash who Beis Hashem v'anachnu orchim etzlo shayich yosra adin shel mora HaMikdash. But the Beis HaKnesses shu al pi din Beis Seinu v'Hashem yisparach misarech etzleinu liyivayir itanu v'lo mikri al HaMikdash ma'at. But the Beis HaKnesses is our house. It's like a human house, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is coming to visit. So that's a place where the level of Smiktash Etirahu is not quite the same, and that's why a whole series of things are permissible. So says Rav Shechter, we should think about how we would want people to behave in our house, and how we would behave when we're in somebody else's house, when we're in shul. So for instance, if you, let's say, are coming in on a snowy day, he gives the example of galoshes. People don't wear some galoshes so much, but let's say snow boots. You wear snow boots, and you're coming in, and your snow boots are all muddy and disgusting, and whatever, and you come into somebody else's house, what do? You offer it, even if you're not normally in the practice of, you don't live in the Far East or my mother's living room. You live in a place where you're allowed to wear shoes, right? So, but when you're wearing these snow boots that are filthy and disgusting, you take them off when you come into a house. So he says, shul l'chor should be the same thing. You should bring your little bag with other shoes. You shouldn't come in with something that you wouldn't walk through somebody else's house with. Let's say throwing candy wrappers on the floor, things like that, that people do all the time. And then in Pnine Arav, I saw he had a osafa to this. He said, if you invite company over, and this has happened to me once or twice, but if you invite company over and you're having a nice meal, and sometimes a person has to go up, take care of their kid, go to the bathroom, whatever, help out in the kitchen, whatever they're doing. But imagine, like, you invite company over, and the guy just starts roaming around your entire house. You know, goes upstairs to the bedroom, starts checking things out over there, just roaming around your house, like aimlessly roaming around your house. It's like, well, I'm not hurting anybody. I'm not talking. I'm not saying a word. I'm just roaming around. So Shachter Reisim in Pnine Arav, based on the same vart, if you have to treat it at least with the same covet you treat somebody else's house, there are people like that in shul. They're roamers. They can't sit in their seat or stand near their seat. They just, you know, go up and down the aisles all the time. They hang around. That's so. He said l'chora. That's against the halacha. The halacha is that you should treat it ki beso. He quotes that the Talmide Valajin used to do this. They used to walk up and down the rows of the Beis Medrash. And Reb Chaim didn't like it. Reb Chaim thought that it was incorrect. Okay, he says also interesting, just a little cute anecdote. On top of that, he says that Reb Chaim said he didn't like that Talmid Velazhin used to do this. Va'amar ba'alatza shemasha niskar b'mishna da'avos she'achad me'asar nisim. Right, when he lists off the nisim that happened in the Beis Hamikdash, so one of the nisim is that when they stood up in place, they were cramped, it was packed, and yet when they bowed down, there was plenty of room to bow down. You know, when you bow down like on Yom Noraim, and like you just don't know where everyone's going to go, how everyone's going to have room to bow down. Somehow in the Beis Hamikdash, they were cramped when they stood up. When they bowed down, it was all good. What's the nace that they were omdim tzfufim? What should it have said? It should have said that the nace is that even though it was so packed, they had plenty of room to bow down. Why is it a nace that omdim tzfufim? So that's what Reb Chaim used to say. It was a nace that you got people to stand still. That was the nace. Okay, fine. That was the nace. So that's not the main thing I wanted to discuss. Let's move on to Tosos. Tosos over here has some important and interesting points. First of all, I think critically important is Tosus tries to translate probably the most important phrase we say in davening next to Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, the phrase Yeheshmei Rabba, right? Yeheshmei Rabba Mevarach V'Olam. So Tosus translates that phrase for us. Tosus says that this Gemara is a raya that an often accepted translation is incorrect. He says the translation of Machzor Vitri on this phrase of Yeheshmei Rabba is that it's a tefillah that we're davening that Hashem's shame should be Rabba, that Hashem's shame should be great. What do we mean we daven that Hashem's shame should be great? It means that the Gemara tells us that Ki Yad Al Kes Ka, that we darshin, that the kise, the shame is not shalem and the kise is not shalem of HaKadosh Baruch Hu until we wipe out Amalek. So we're davening that the shame Hashem should be shalem again because we'll be able to wipe out Amalek and that will be mashlim the shame Hashem. So Yehei Shmei Rabba, the shame should be Rabba. Then what's Mevarach Li'olam? That's a separate phrase. Yehei Shmei Shame Ka Rabba Kalamar Shana Mespalim Shei Shmo Gadol V'Shalem Umevarach Li'olam Havi Tefila Acheres. When you say Mevarach Li'olam, that's a separate tefila. It's a separate bakasha. Kalamar Mevarach Li'olam Abba, blessed for Olam Abba. Two totally different things. Yehei Shmei Rabba Kama Mevarach Li'olam Abba. Mevarach is already the next phrase. So that's how Machzor Vitri says. Says Tosfos, take a look at our Gemara. He said, what happens? The Baskel says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, every time HaKadosh Baruch Hu hears Klal Yisrael say, Yehei Shmei HaGadol Mevorach, which is obviously the phrase, Yehei Shmei Rabba. So why does it throw the word Mevorach in there? And if it's going to throw the word Mevorach in there, shouldn't it be Mevorach Li'olam? Right? So it sounds like this is one phrase. Yehei Shmei HaGadol Mevorach. Not that we're davening the shame should be Gadol, the shame should be Rabba, Kama Mevorach Li'olam. No. We're davening that the great name of Hashem, the exalted name of Hashem, should be Mevorach Li'olam. We're davening a tefillah to give a bracha to the Shem Hashem, to this exalted Shem Hashem, this exalted name of Hashem. Now, keep in mind, because I want to come back to this, Baruch Shem Kavod Malchuso Li'olam Ve'ed. Striking similarity to Yehei Shmei Rabba Mevorach Li'olam. Right? It's almost the same word, it's just one's in Aramaic, one's Hebrew, right? Baruch Shem, we're blessing the Shem Kavod Malchuso, Li'olam Va'ed. And there's no argument. There's no that it's the shame should be great. No, we're blessing the shame Hashem, the Olam Vaed. So Yehei Shmei Rabba Mevarach, according to Machzor Vitri, Yehei Shmei Rabba has got nothing to do with Baruch Shem Kvod Malchuso L'Olam Vaed. Right? According to Tosfos, they're mirror images of each other. They're almost exactly the same, just one's in Hebrew, one's in Aramaic. Says Tosfos, and also Tosfos says, and we'll come back to this point later, to the Baruch Shem Kvod soon, but Tosfos writes, why do we say Kaddish in Arami, in Lashon Arami? So strange. We say most of Tefillah, we say in Hebrew. And Kaddish, all of a sudden, we say B'Lashon Arami. So he says, the fact that people say, you know, the Velt says that you say Kaddish B'Lashon Arami, L'fisha Tefillah Na'a V'Shevach Gadolhu, Al-Kein Nitzkan B'Lashon Targum. Because it's such a beautiful Tefillah that we're afraid if we say it in Lashon HaKodesh, the Malachim are going to understand, V'yu Meskanim Banu, and they're going to become jealous of us. So we dafka say it in a Lashon that the Malachim don't understand. We dafka use Lashon Arami because Malachi Asharis are not Niskakim Lashon Arami. It's a Gemara in Shabbos Daf Yud Beis, and it comes up a couple of other places in Shas. The Malachi Asharis don't get, they don't understand Lashon Arami, therefore we dafka take our best tefillah and give that in Lashon Arami, lest the Malachi Asharis become jealous of us. So Tosfos says, that's not true. That's incorrect. That's not the pshat. Why do we say B'Lashon Arami? We say B'Lashon Arami because there's a Gemara in Sota that says that one of the great things that keeps the world going is the fact that we say Kaddish after a shir. Right? At the end of an Agadita, at the end of a shir, when you say Divrei Agada, for some reason he only says Divrei Agada. That they would say a Kaddish Rabban after saying Divrei Agada. So who's around after the shir is over, after you said Divrei Agada? The Amoratzim are around. So the Amoratzim don't understand Hebrew, so you're going to say a tefillah they're not going to understand, so you want to say a tefillah that the Amoratzim will understand. So we said it, B'Lashon Arami, because that was the spoken language, that's what everybody understood. So first of all, it's fascinating that the Amoratzim were always there. The Amoratzim were they were the ones that all the Shiurim, right? The Amoratzim were the ones that were going to all the Shiurim, or were around right after the Shiurim. Not sure why that's so. What? It's Agadat Hashir. Maybe that's why it says Agadat. I don't know. But
according to this, Rashi's translation of the Gemara doesn't really make sense.
Why is that?
Because he says that it's all talking about the base of Mikdash. Or,
right.
So, I mean, there are Amoratzim and base of Mikdash.
No. The Gemara said Yehi Shmei Agadol Mavorach. Right? Shmo Hagadol. It's not Shmei Rabba. It's not Shmei Rabba. Shmo Hagadol. The Gemara was talking Hebrew.
Right.
So, that could be, it could have been Rashi's Hechruch even. I mean, why does Rashi have to say it's based on Mikdash? Rashi could, because the Gemara said Hebrew words here. And we don't say Hebrew words outside of the base of Mikdash. But the Knesset, but the Midrashos, we say Aramaic words. So that could have been even what pushed Rashi. I never thought of that. But yeah, that could have been what pushed Rashi to say it's got to be talking about the base of Mikdash. So first of all, you may have noticed that in many shuls, after they say a shir, they say Rav Chanan ben Akash Yom Rasa Kosh Baruch Luzak Yisrael Fichir Ben Tor Mitzvah Shnem Hashem Chavetz Man Asuk V'yag V'tor V'yadir is Kodal, right? Why do they do that? What's the whole point of the... Because that's Agada. A lot of the Shirim don't have any Divrei Agada. Sometimes Shirim don't have any Divrei Torah. But a lot of times they don't have any Divrei Agada in them. So if they don't have any Divrei Agada, you got to say, probably to be Yotze, what Tosfos say. We don't know if Tosfos means Dafka Agadita or even Agadita. But that's why we say it's Dvar Agada. Okay, why we chose that Dvar Agada is a good question, but we say some sort of Dvar Agada. L'chor, if it's an Agada Tashir, you don't need to say that. There's no sense in Dafka saying that. But this idea, Tosfos takes for granted, that Malachi Asharis won't understand Lashon Arami, and he doesn't like the pshat, that that's why we say Lashon Arami. He doesn't think that's why we say Lashon Arami, but he does seem to accept this concept, that Malachi Asharis don't understand Lashon Arami. The truth is, this opens up a much bigger discussion that we're not going to get into, which is what is the role of the Malachi Asharis in our tefillos? There are conflicting Makoros and Chazal about whether the Malachi Asharis actually play any role in our tefillos. Do we need the Malachim to bring our tefillos? Or do we dafka want to leave Malachim out of our tefillos and talk straight to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? According to this pshat that Tosfos is saying that he's rejecting, it sounds like we want to leave the malachim in the dark. We don't want them anywhere near our tefillos. We're going to daven to Hashem and we're going to say the most beautiful tefillah that touches Hashem's heart and is going to leave the malachim out of it. But there are many makoros in Chazal that seem otherwise. We're not going to get into that. I just want to discuss this issue of malachi asharis not knowing our ramas. There is a fascinating Tosfos in Masechta Shabbos. It's a two-liner. Tosfos writes that when the Gemara over there says Malachi Asharis is not Makirim B'Lashon Rami, Tosfos says, you know, except for Gavriel, because he was the language guy. He was the one that taught the 70 languages to Yosef, right, when Yosef was going to find his brothers. So he met up with a Malach, he met up with an Ish. That Ish was the Malach Gavriel. Gavriel taught him the 70 languages, according to the Gemara in Sota, because knowing that he was going to have to be viceroy over Mitzrayim, and in order to rise to that position, he needs to speak all these languages. So he Rosetta Stone on steroids, he gave him the full 70 languages. So how could Gavriel teach him the full 70 languages? How did Gavriel know Aramis? So it must be that there's one Malach that spoke Aramis, says Tosfos. Okay, good. Then Tosfos says, but the whole concept is so troubling to me. What does it mean Malachi Asharis don't speak Aramis? What is language? Language is the expression of thought, hopefully, usually, right? We think, we develop an idea in our minds, we articulate it in our minds, and then we express it in language, right? So Tosfos says, I don't understand. Malachi Asharis even know machshavos of people. They even know people's thoughts. How could they not understand Aramis, a language that's being spoken, if language is an expression of thought and they know the thought? They know before it ever came out in Aramis. They know while it's still in the thought stage. So he says, I don't understand this whole concept that they don't speak Lashon Aramis. So in that kasha, Tosfos makes an assumption. What assumption does he make? That they know our thoughts. So the Maariv Chiya says, what are you talking about? Who says Malachim know our thoughts? Where does it ever say that Malachim know our thoughts? And Rabbi Yaakov Emden somewhere, I couldn't find it in time for this year, but I saw it like 10, 12, 15 years ago. I saw this Rabbi Yaakov Emden, and I'm pretty sure it exists. It seems to have been erased from all copies of the back of Talmud Bavli Shabbos. But Rabbi Yaakov Emden has a ha'ara somewhere, and that could be your homework. find me this Rabbi Yaakov Emden, where he says, no, of course, I have a raya that Tosfos is wrong, that Malachi Asharis can't know our thoughts. Because when the Malachim came to visit Avraham Avinu, they said, Ayei Sara Ishtecha, where's Sarah? So if they knew Avram's thoughts, they must have known where Sarah was, right? They must have known where she was. A very strange comment. That's why I remember it so clearly, because I remember how taken aback I was by that comment, for two reasons. First of all, what does a thought have to do with where Sarah was? Second of all, and even more importantly, the Gemara Masechta B'Metzia discusses why the Malachi Asharis asked Ayei Sara Ishtecha. I think Rashi and Chumash even quotes it. Right? Why did the Malachi Asharis ask Ayei Sara Ishtecha? Because they wanted to remind Avram Avinu how special his wife was, that she was Ba'ohel, that she was such a tznua, kol kavud bas melech panima, that she was such a wonderful person. It's not the Malachi Asharis didn't know. They knew. They were trying to send it. Why did Chazal have to darshan that? Why couldn't Chazal just say they didn't know? They didn't know where Sarah was. Maybe Chazal Davka darshan that, because of course the Malachi Asharis knew. Malachi Asharis are Yodeo Machshavos. So that's maybe what Rabbi Yaakov Emden says. I still got to find it. Maariv Chiya says that at first he was confused where we get this idea that Malachim know our thoughts. But then he saw an Elia Rabbah. An Elia Rabbah's halacha sefer on Aruch Chaim. Mishnah Berurah quotes it on kimat every page of Mishnah Berurah. You'll find citations, multiple citations of Elia Rabbah. So Elia Rabbah quotes from Tos Yantif, who writes that someone who has Ruach HaKodesh knows ma shebelibo shel adam, knows what's in a person's heart. A person has Ruach HaKodesh, they know what's in a person's heart. How do we know this? By Rivka, by Yomer Esav Belibo, that she knew what Esav was thinking. By the Gemara Maseches Megillah, the Gemara has something like 6, 7, 8 opinions of how we know that Esther was Baruch HaKodesh Nemra. That Esther was written Baruch HaKodesh. And one of the rayas is that it must have been Baruch HaKodesh because the Pasuk says, Vayomer Haman Belibo. When exactly did Haman tell us what he was thinking at that time? Haman never told anybody what he was thinking. And yet we still knew when they wrote the Megillah, they still knew that Vayomer Haman Belibo. So it must be that it was Baruch HaKodesh. So what do you see? That someone who has Ruach HaKodesh knows machshavos of other people. So says Maratzchis, if someone who has Ruach HaKodesh knows the machshavos of other people, what's a higher madrega, Ruach HaKodesh or Malach? So Bastama, Malach is on a higher level. So if even a guy who has Ruach HaKodesh knows other people's machshavos, Mestama Malach Vaday knows other people's machshavos. Okay. I wasn't convinced by those rayas. Were any of you convinced? Did you have any kashas in those rayas? I wasn't convinced at all by those rayas. The Gemara Megillah struck me right away, because that Gemara, that Es Ruach Kodesh Nemra, okay, yeah, I would have said also, you see that, what does that Gemara prove? That Gemara proves that in order to know somebody's machshavos, you need to have some sort of further insight. Does it prove that everyone with that level of insight knows every thought that everybody else is thinking? Meaning, having Ruach Kodesh means, I don't know what it means, but on some level it means that you're imbued with some tremendous insight that comes from a spiritual height. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you this matana of tremendous insight because of some spiritual accomplishment you've had. Does that necessarily mean that if I know one guy's thoughts, I know everybody's thoughts? Maybe just the thoughts that I need to know. Right, so why? How is that a raya that the Malachi Asharis necessarily know all the machshavos that are in a person's heart? I'm not certain that that's a raya. Again, there are different kinds of malachim. I'm not into this. Like, I don't really know much about this stuff. There are sraf, mafanim, chayos hakodesh. They're all different. These are all different madrigos of malachim, and it could be that some malachim do, some don't. And I don't even begin to scratch the surface of what the Balei HaTosfos were talking about. But I have yet to see a convincing raya that the Balei HaTosfos are correct. The Malachi Asharis know our machshavos, and Balei HaTosfos just took it as davar pashut. Of course, they know our machshavos. Yeah.
Say maybe that it's because in our davening, like, you have to have kavana in order for it to mean something. So if malachim are somewhat messengers in a way, they must know if we have kavana or not, because so they must know our thoughts, because or else kavana wouldn't matter.
Or you could say our tefillos don't even get to the malachim without kavana. You know, yeah, it's hard to know. The rush in the second paragraph of Brachos quotes a machlokas. Shakti used to always quote this machlokas also about what it means that they're not makirin b'lashon arami. There are different girsos in the Gemara that it's ein niskakin b'lashon arami, ein makirin b'lashon arami, ein mevinim b'lashon arami. Those mean different things, right? Makirim is sort of in the middle. Ein mevinim means they don't understand it; they just don't know what it's talking about. Ein niskakin b'lashon arami. What does that mean? They don't. It means that they're not meshuba to it. They don't like it. They don't pay attention to it. The Rosh says it could be that Lashon Arami they find disgusting. It's like people who speak Yiddish find German disgusting. They find it because of the Germans more than the language. But they it's so close, but it's not it. You know, it's so close to the language that is, and they find that to be an abomination. You're going to take the language, you know. I don't know, what was it, French and Flemish or something, right? There's like, it's so close to the language that's really the language of beauty, and this wonderful language, and you corrupt it and you change it, and it's still so close that they find just disgusting and they don't want to have anything to do with it. So the Malachi Asharis, so the context of the Gemara in Shabbos is that you shouldn't daven b'lashon arami, because if you daven b'lashon arami, the Malachi Asharis is not going to be niskaken b'lashon arami. So it could just mean they're not interested in taking those tefillos. They don't want your Aramaic tefillos. They don't like it. What? Oh, so again, I don't want to get into that topic. We're going to stay away from that topic. I think I must have a Temen Halacha Shir on that, on Machnise Rachamim, or in Slichos. We skipped a paragraph here in Yeshiva, but it's printed in all the booklets. What? Baruchuni L'Shalom. Yeah, although you could argue Baruchuni L'Shalom is less of a tefillah than Machnise Rachamim is. Baruchuni L'Shalom is just asking, like, I would ask Rav Moshe Feinstein Baruchuni, right? I happen to skip Baruchuni L'Shalom, but you could argue that it's different.
With all those changes of yourselves, what's the difference? It's not going to Malachim anyway. Wasn't that the whole point of saying skipping Malachim?
Right, so it's interesting, this pshat that Tosos quotes seems to be, the Gemara in Shabbos says, don't daven in Aramaic because you need the malachim to carry your tefillos. Tosos says, we say Yehesh Be'er Rabbah in Aramaic because we want to do an end around, you know, get around the malachim and get straight to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But don't we need them? Okay, good kasha. Maybe Yeshua Rabbah is such a great tefillah that that goes straight to HaKadosh Baruch Hu even without the help of the malachim. What I really wanted to spend the bulk of the shiur, and by that I mean the next 14 minutes, on is Baruch Shem Kol Malchus Elyon Va'ed. Kivi asked last night, what is the... we discussed last night which part of Kriya Shema is Daraisa. Is it Shema Yisrael or is it the whole first paragraph? So he raised the question of where does Baruch Shem Kol Malchus Elyon Va'ed fit into this? So the source of Baruch Shem Kol Malchus Elyon Va'ed is a very well-known Gemara. I'm sure many of you have seen this Gemara, heard this Gemara. Amar Rav Shimon Lach Shemar Psachim Daf Nun Vav Amar Aleph. He gathers all of his sons together and he wants to tell them what's going to be with them. He wanted to let them know what was going to happen in the end, and you know when the end of days was going to be. And but then the Shechina left him, and he wasn't able to do it. He says, "Oh my gosh! I thought I got out of this problem. Every generation before me had some children that were half their children were okay and half were really not okay. I thought I had shifteka and I was good and I had mitaso shlema. But if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is taking away meruach kodesh because he doesn't want these federal secrets getting out to these people, there must be something wrong with them." So Amru lo banav Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So they all right there declared right around his bed Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. You know, we read this a lot of times. You can imagine the emotion. You know, his life's work, and he was a lone, you know, lone fighter for monotheism, and his life's work was to get his children on board and to set up his incredibly talented children to start this religion and continue this religion, and being successful with, it's hard to be successful with raising children, especially when you have a lot of them, and being successful with 12 out of 12, all of them saying, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, a very powerful, very, very powerful moment. So, someone very close to me, I know, had 9 children when she passed away, and all 9 children were around her bed as she was passing away singing Ani Ma'amin. She passed away at a young age, and they were saying, you know, you taught us emunah, and we believe in these times. Is there a better death than that? I mean, you know, shalom eda, but, you know, is there anything better than that? I mean, that's... So they say, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. So Amru, Shem She'in Belibcha Ela Echad, Kach In Belibeinu Ela Echad. And what they were trying to tell him is, there's only one, that's a typo, it should be Echad with an Aleph over there, I don't know why. So, Ba'osa Shah, Pasach Yaakov Avinu Va'amar, Baruch Shem Kol Malchus Elyon Va'ed. So who invented Baruch Shem Kol Malchus Elyon Va'ed? So Yaakov came up with it. So Yaakov said, Baruch Shem Kol Malchus Elyon Va'ed. Which means to say, Baruch Hashem, I'm so lucky. It's so great. My children all believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So is Baruch Shem Kol Malchus Elyon Va'ed part of Kabbalah Malach Shemayim? I mean, when we say it, so the Gemara says, we don't know, should we, yes, say Baruch Shem, because Yaakov said it, should we not say it, because, what does it say? Nomru, lo amru Moshe Rabbeinu didn't say it, so how can we yes say it? Should we not say it, but Yaakov did say it? So we say it quietly, so we sort of compromise on the Baruch Shem, Kol Malchus Elyon Va'ed. We say it quietly. But, and by the way, why do we say it out loud in Yom Kippur? Because we're like Malachim, right? Now, what's Baruch Shem Kol Malchus Elyon Va'ed a direct translation of? From Aramaic to Hebrew, what would it be? Yehi Shmei Rabbah Mevarach. Right? So the Iker Tefillah of Malachim, that Malachim are allowed to say out loud, is essentially Yehi Shmei Rabbah Mevarach, it sounds like, right? Okay. What?
But in Hebrew.
So is the... But Tosfos says we dafka translate it to Aramaic because... We don't want them to get jealous that we get to say such a beautiful tefillah. What do you mean? This is their tefillah.
You're supposed to say that loud,
but you can say it also. The fact that we can say it, the Yeheshmei Rabbah, we get to say it out loud. Okay, good. So is this part of Kabbalah Sol Malach Shemayim? From the Gemara, it doesn't sound like it. The Gemara makes it sound like it's Yaakov's declaration of Baruch Hashem. Not that I mean Mekabal Sol Malach Shemayim. The Shema Yisrael was Kabbalah Sol Malach Shemayim. And there are rayas that it's not part of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. For instance, the Gemara tells us, Gemara Darshins, Ki Shem Hashem Ekra Havu Godel Elokeinu. Gemara in Yom Lamed Zayin. Amar Lam Moshe Liyisol, B'shosh Ani Maskir, Shemosh Al Kadosh Baruch Hu, Atem Havu Godel. That whenever I say the Shem Hashem, you should be Havu Godel, you should praise it. praising is not the same as Kabbalah Sal Malchus Shemayim. Praise is praise. That's not Kabbalah Sal Malchus Shemayim. So this declaration of Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Elyon Ve'ed that we say in the Mikdash, every time the Shem Hashem was said, was a praise for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It wasn't Kabbalah Sal Malchus Shemayim. L'chora. By the way, Shem Hashem Ekrav God Delel Kenu is very important in Maseches Brachos. That same pasuk is where we learn what from? Birchas HaTorah. How do I know you have to make Birchas HaTorah? Ki Shem Hashem Ekrav God Delel Kenu is Machlokas, Rashi and the Marsha, what the Drasha is. Which phrase in that pasuk, Ki Shem Hashem Ekrav God Delel Kenu, means the Bracha, and which phrase means Torah? So I think Rashi says, Ki Shem Hashem Ekra Hava Godel Elkeinu. Godel Elkeinu is Torah. Ki Shem Hashem Ekra is the Bracha. Call out the Shem Hashem when you're going to give Godel Elkeinu by learning Torah. Marsha, if I'm not mistaken, says the opposite. He says, Ki Shem Hashem Ekra, Shem Hashem is Torah. When you want to do Shem Hashem, which is Torah, and that connects to the Ramban and the Sakdama, to the Spirit Shal Chumash, where he says that Kol HaTorah Kula Shmosu Shal Kodesh Baruch Hu, says I have a Kabbalah Shal Emes. That all the, there's tzirvosios in the Torah, whatever, the whole Torah, you could, Bereshis is bara, Shei is bara, Bereshis is bara, you could be broken up in different ways, whatever it means, very Kabbalistic, but it's all Shmosav Shal Kodesh Baruch Hu. Ki Shem Hashem Ekra, when I'm going to say Torah, Havu Godel Elokeinu. Godel is the bracha. Is he give Shevach to Kodesh Baruch Hu. So over here also, Havu Godel is Shevach. Havu Godel is Shevach. Doesn't sound like it's part of Kabbalah Sal Malchus Shemayim. If you look in the, if you look in the Levush, however, source number 11, Levush Nilchus Kriya Shema Simas Samach Gimel, says the Levush, L'fichach ma yikori pasuk rishon v'nenas b'dimdum shena, ad she'enu yachal likros b'kavana. Say you're falling asleep, and you can't say that first pasuk of Shema b'kavana, because you're just plotzing. Tzrich l'naro la'oro ad she'ikro pasuk rishon. You got to wake him up. You see your friend is like Shema, he just dozes off. Shavuos morning. Kick him a little bit, you know. You got to say Shema Yisrael with kavana. V'lo yem isnam neim kadesh shiyikra b'kavana. Aval in pasuk rishon ve'elachin tzrich l'naro ad shihei ar mamish v'korei el afilu korei v'misnam neim yatsa. But the rest of it, you could say half dozing. Kabol sol malch shemayim needs to be said when you're wide awake. Says the Levush. What do I mean by pasuk rishon? Ve'nirli shapasuk rishon shuskar b'kol zayinim kolol gam keinimo. Baruch Shem Kod Malchus Al Yom Ved, Shehu Gamkein Bechlal, Kabbalah Sal Malchus Shemayim. So Levush says Beferish not that way, right? That Baruch Shem Kod Malchus Al Yom Ved is part of Kabbalah Sal Malchus Shemayim. Is there a nafkamina whether it's part of Kabbalah Sal Malchus Shemayim or not? So here's the nafkamina. Levush says nafkamina, one nafkamina. That for the Kabbalah Sal Malchus Shemayim part of Kriya Shema, you need to be wide awake. For the rest, you just need to get the words out. But you need to be wide awake for the Kabbalah Sal Malchus Shemayim part. So how much do you need to be wide awake for? Do you need to be wide awake for Baruch Shem Kavod? Says the Levush, yes. And, says the Levush, Mishra Berurah quotes, if you don't say Baruch Shem Kavod Malchus Elyon Ve'ed, you have to repeat Kriya Shema. You missed out on half of your Kabbalah Sal Malchus Shemayim.
How? Is it a Daraisa, you know, calling that?
Good. It's hard to call it a Daraisa. This may relate to what we were discussing last night, 2 minutes ago. We were discussing about how sometimes, even when you don't do a Darabanan, you don't do a mitzvah with the way the Rabbanan told you to do the mitzvah, it takes away your kiyum daraisa also. It could be that this relates to that in some way. But the Mishnah Berurah, you're right. The Mishnah Berurah doesn't like it at all. The Mishnah Berurah says it's not true. If you don't say Baruch Shem Kol Malchus Al Yom Ved, Bekavana, even if you don't say Bekavana, the Levush would say, says, we're not machzirna, so you don't have to go back to the beginning and say it all over again. And Mishnah Berurah has several rayas. I'm not going to get into all the rayas because of time constraints. But I'll mention one of the rayas from a Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara says if a person is Kori Betorah and it comes time for Kriya Shema, Im Kivein Libo Yatza. So he's learning from a Torah. He's learning Chumash. So he gets to the parsha of Kriya Shema and he realizes, oh, it's Man Kriya Shema. So he has Kavana. So he's Yotze. He didn't say Baruch Shem Kvamach Sadeh on that because it's not there when he's reading from the Torah. So it sounds like he was just reading from what it says in the Torah and just having Kavana as Yotze. So he says, it must be that you're Yotze B'diavad even without Baruch Shem. So he says, the truth is, though, there is a machlokas in the Gemara. What does it mean in Kiven Libo? Does in Kiven Libo mean you have to have Kavana to be Yotze the mitzvah of Kriya Shema? Or does in Kiven Libo just mean to read? That you intended to read this section without having specific intention to be Yotze the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. So he says, if you say Im Kivin Libo means Lotze is to be Yotze, so maybe Enoch Inami, the guy did say Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Elyon that. Maybe he knew that he wanted to be Yotze Kriya Shema, so he added it in. But if there's even a possibility in the Gemara that Im Kivin Libo just means you had Kavana Likros, but you never had in mind that you wanted it to count for Kriya Shema, so why would he add in Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Elyon Ved? He must have not added in Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Elyon Ved. So you see that he didn't add in Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Elyon Ved, that he's still going to be Yotze. So that's Mishnah Berurah's Raya. Now, the Mishnah Berurah then quotes from the Magen Avraham that in terms of another nafkamina, whether it's Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim, is if you're allowed to be mafsik in the middle. For what you're allowed to be mafsik in the middle. You're not allowed to be mafsik in the middle of Kriya Shema ever for normal things. But let's say there's something dangerous that's going to happen, or something scary, or someone that you respect a lot. So the Gemara discusses Beit HaPrakim and different halachas. So what about in the middle of Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Elyon Ved? So if it's part of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim, Chas V'Shalom, you can't be mafsik in the middle of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. So in this Bir Halacha, he quotes in this Magen Avraham that Ein Lahafsik Bamiris Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Elyon Ved Im Lo Sheyare Shem Yahargenu, because it's part of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. Says Bir Halacha, I agree it's part of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim, but I don't agree with the Levush that you have to repeat Shema based on it. Meaning, he says, I agree, it's Inyan Gadol, it's a great thing, it's very important. But you're not going to have to repeat Shema based on it. And he says, I'm not even convinced the Levush says you have to repeat Shema based on it. What the Levush says is that you have to be Chozer for Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Elyon Ved. What does it mean to be Chozer? He says it could just mean that you said it and you didn't have Kavana, so now go back and say it again. But you didn't start via Hafta yet. But if you already started via Hafta, maybe even the Levush will be motivated that you don't have to be Chozer. So he says he's not convinced that even the Levush would say this. Okay. So there's this discussion whether it's part of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. Now it happens to be that there are many, many rayas that the Levush is correct and the Mishnah Berurah is correct that it is part of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim in Halacha, that we paskin that it's part of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. There are explicit midrashim about this, which is not going to have time to get into all this. You take a look at the list. I gave you five different rayas from Shulchan Aruch, from Beis Yosef, that it's part of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. I'll give you one simple one. Shulchan Aruch in Simas Samach Yosef Beis says, you walk into a shul, you're not up to Shema, they're up to Shema, and they say, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. What do? You say it with them. Why? Why do you say it with them? It shouldn't look like everyone else is being Mekabel Ol Malchus Shemayim, and you're like, no, I protest, I'm not going to be Mekabel Ol Malchus Shemayim. So you say it together with them. What about Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Elyon Ved? Says Shulchan Aruch, yeah. Mishnah Berurah rather, so I've got Nid over there. Yeah, also, say that with them also. Why? Because it's Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. And if everyone else is being Mekabel Ol Malchus Shemayim, you also need to be Mekabel Ol Malchus Shemayim. Not only that, it could be that it's Dafka, Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Elyon Ved is even a stronger Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. Okay. For whatever reason, it might even be a bigger Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. What does it mean though? What's Yeheshmei Rabba Mevarach? What's Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Elyon Ved? So all of the Achronim explain the same way. Nefesh HaChayim, Shlomo Zalman, the Malbim, they all explain the same way. They all explain that Baruch Shem Kvod Malchus Elyon Ved is that. Why isn't it just Baruch Hashem Elyon Ved? What's Baruch Shem? What's the Shem? So they all basically are mechavin to the same idea, which is that we don't know HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We can't really know HaKadosh Baruch Hu per se. What we know is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu describes himself to us, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu has acted toward us throughout Jewish history. When we are Mevarich Hashem, we can't be Mevarich Hashem per se, because we don't know Hashem. It's a chutzpah to claim that we can be Mevarich Hashem. We could be Mevarich Shema. We could be Mevarich Shem Kvod Malchus Elyon Ved. Says Rav Shechter, Nekadesh es Shimcha ba'olam. Why isn't Nekadesh es Shimcha ba'olam? Again, that's what we know. It's the shame, Hashem. Yiskadal v'yiskadash, Shmei Rabbah. Yi Shem Hashem Mevarach. All over the place. We're Mevarach the Shem Hashem and not Hashem per se. Rav Shechter writes in Nefesh HaRav in page Kuf Chaf Zayin, Kuf Chaf Ches, that this is the reason that Rav Salvechik didn't like the idea of saying Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo by Brachos. The Torah quotes a minhag of his father, a minhag of the Rush, that every time he heard the Shem Hashem, he would say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo. As a kiyum of Kishem Hashem Ekro, have a godel elkenu, every time he heard the Shem Hashem, he would say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo. So it's Yadua that the Gra didn't like it. The Gra in Maaser Rav says didn't say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo because he thought it was a hefsek in the middle of the Bracha. So you shouldn't say Baruch Hu Baruch Shemo, especially during Chazar Shatz when you should be listening to the Bracha, as the Gra's Shita. Sounds from the Torah that the Rush said it by everything, every time you heard anybody say any Bracha. But Rav Salvechik had a different problem with it. Baruch Hu? Since when do we have such a formulation? Baruch Shemo is a formulation that we could have, not Baruch Hu. It's the same as it's Yehi Shmei Rabba Mevarach. Okay, we'll close with that. Ezer Hashem, tomorrow we have back to a more traditional kind of sugya. Smichas Gula Letzvila.